What's so bad about saying cuss words? They're just words, right? Have you ever wondered why Christians historically have taught against saying so-called swear words? Then keep listening because you're about to find out why. Welcome to Apostolic Life in the 21st Century, a podcast dedicated to helping modern-day believers live out the teachings of the first century church. This podcast is part of the teaching ministry of Dr. David K. Bernard. Dr. Bernard has dedicated his life to studying the Bible and helping believers apply its message to their daily lives. In Apostolic Life in the 21st Century, Dr. Bernard answers your questions about what the Bible teaches and how those teachings apply to everyday life. If you enjoy this podcast, we encourage you to check out Dr. David K. Bernard's books. Dr. Bernard has written more than 30 books on biblical theology and Christian living and leadership. Visit PentecostalPublishing.com and search David Bernard for a list of available titles. Enter promo code DKB10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. That's PentecostalPublishing.com, promo code DKB10 to save 10% at checkout. One of the blessings of working here at UPCI World Headquarters is that all of our coworkers are Apostolic Pentecostals, so our listeners out there can imagine that our workplace atmosphere is a little different than what many of them encounter in a secular workplace atmosphere. One of the things that I've noted is that the language that I hear on this job is quite a bit different than some of the language that I've heard on previous workplaces. I've worked many secular jobs prior to coming to UPCI World Headquarters, and the language used is strikingly different, which is a good thing. I've known people, and probably many of our listeners have as well, that couldn't complete a sentence without including a cuss word in them. And many people argue, you know, what's the big deal about cussing? It's just words. And at one point, there was even a trend in Christianity, not in apostolic Pentecostal circles, I might add, but in the larger Christian world of pastors using swear words in the pulpit. So I want to ask you today, what is the big deal about cussing? They're just harmless words, right? So what's the problem?
Actually, the Bible has a lot to say about our words and our speech. Before I get into the scripture, let's just talk about what we mean by cussing, because we could mean several different things. Of course, the English word cursing would literally mean pronounce a curse on someone. And the Bible does speak of that as wrong. Now, the typical cuss words that people use in English and most other languages, they could fall in several categories. So first of all, talking about hell, talking about damnation. And the danger there is if you mean them literally as they originally intended, you are cursing people, which is a direct contradiction of the word of God. If you don't really mean that, but you're just throwing in those words, you're trivializing what is something very important. So these, you know, the word hell, the word damn, those are scriptural words with real meanings. When we throw them into sentences for exaggeration or emphasis, we're really trivializing them. Because if we mean them literally, we're cursing people. If we don't mean them literally, we're making fun, we're joking, we're cavalierly treating the fact that we're going to have an eternal destiny. And so that is the danger there, that we cause people not to take biblical teaching seriously. Other terms relate to sexual functions or bodily functions. And so maybe some of those are just crude, but when it comes to, and the Bible does talk about having wholesome speech. So maybe some words are not sinful, but they're crude and would be a violation. But those that relate to sexuality, again, I would make the same comment. In the Bible, sex is between a man and a woman. It's really designed by God. It's meant to be treated as sacred and solemn and private. And so again, to use these terms, if we mean them literally, then we're trivializing and denouncing God's plan. If we don't mean them literally, then again, we're trivializing something that's meant to be sacred and we're making it profane. Now, then some curse words have to do with taking the name of the Lord in vain, which is a violation of one of the Ten Commandments. which I believe is moral law, which is applicable today, but using the word God or Jesus Christ or some other terms of deity in when you're not, you know, when you're not praying, when you're not exclaiming to God. You know, sometimes we, in a moment of crisis or startled, we may call on God or Lord or Jesus and mean it. But if we don't mean it, again, we're taking God's name in vain. We're trivializing it. And we're trying to, in all these cases, we're trying to teach our children, our youth, our converts, that certain things are sacred, that certain things are scriptural, that certain things are doctrinal, that God is holy and to be treated with extreme reverence and worship. And so when we use these various terms contrary to that, we're tearing down what we believe. And by our words and our actions, we're communicating to people that are following us that we don't mean these things. And I think it is interesting that in American culture, even though we're mostly post-Christian, we don't curse by using Muhammad's name or Buddha's name or Socrates' name because they have no power. They don't mean anything to us other than historical figures. But by taking the name of Jesus Christ in vain, it's kind of in a perverse way testifying the devil really thinks that name has power. That's why he's trying to trivialize it. And think of it this way. When we trivialize the sacred names used for God in titles and the terms used for important doctrines, then in a time of crisis, you go to pray for your child and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, how is that child going to have faith in the power of the name of Jesus when we've treated it casually and trashed it basically in our conversation, or even calling out, oh Lord, when we don't really mean him as the Lord of our lives. Now, this is not just my thought. This is scripture. The entire book of James, or at least chapter 3, specifically talks about wholesome speech. But here, let me just give you a couple of examples, or one example in James. James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So the same way we worship God and we use all those terms with serious biblical intention, the names of God, referring to the relation between husband and wife, referring to, you know, eternal judgment. If we're going to use those in a sacred or biblical way, we shouldn't turn around and use them as a form of cursing or derogatory way. So that's an example. There's a scriptural teaching there. Also, we find in Ephesians chapter 5, I'd like to read several passages there. Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That pretty much covers all these different forms we've been using. And then I'll continue. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So by this kind of talk, we grieve the Spirit of God that's in us, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Going down to now chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication, all uncleanness or covetous, let it not even be named among you as fitting as is fitting for saints. Those are these various terms for sexuality and bodily functions. And then it says in verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For so even using these terms that are considered filthy or degrading, terms that are considered foolish, coarse jesting, so sexual connotations, which sometimes off-color comments and jokes, that's not fitting, he says. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Now, if you think maybe, well, you know, that's a little too strict, but let's go back to Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, let's go back to, I've got here chapter 12. I'll go back to chapter 5 in a minute. Matthew 12:36, but I say to you, These are the words of Jesus, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, I don't know how we define idle word. I'm not saying every idle word is a sin, but Jesus did say every idle word you're going to have to give account for. And if your speech is filled with idle words, useless, vain, or irreverent words, well, you know, the true person is going to be revealed by your words. And so judgment is going to reveal what kind of person you are. And the evidence is going to be, to a great extent, your speech. Now, going back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:22, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, that was a word there in Aramaic that was apparently was known to be inappropriate, meaning someone empty-headed, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, someone might say, that's pretty strict. But I think what he's referring to there is more than just someone who is, mentally slow. It's really moral, a moral term, as in the Psalms, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So Jesus is trying to impress upon us the importance of our speech. Even to call someone by hateful name, implying that they're morally depraved, you know, that itself is inappropriate. You'll be in danger of God's judgment if you curse people in this way or speak hatefully or evilly of people in this way. Well, you know, all of these statements, really, when you study them, the more you study them, the more you realize how important our speech should be. Also in Colossians talks about our speech to be gracious, seasoned with salt. So, just like food should taste good, bring out the proper taste, or maybe the preservative qualities of salt as well. Our speech should be wholesome, should be gracious, should seek to be palatable. And so, even though I know there's a trend sometimes of preachers trying to be relevant and use crude or harsh or even evil words, I don't think you have to be untrue to who you are. I think to be authentic doesn't mean to fake it. It means to be who you are. So if I'm preaching to someone of another ethnicity, I don't have to try to copy their slang. I have to be authentically who I am. If I'm preaching to sinners, yes, I have to speak in terms I understand, but I don't have to use the kind of degrading terms that they use, because then I'm kind of adopting their philosophy. I need to have sound speech, the Bible says, that cannot be condemned.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Apostolic Life in the 21st Century. If you enjoy this podcast, please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. We also appreciate it when you share Apostolic Life in the 21st Century with a friend or family member. And make plans to join us again next time as we look at how the Bible applies to everyday life.